Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Have you settled down at all? Or are you going to yell at
I'm pretty wound up now, but I'm good.
Mac, I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but you're walking into something. Nate Bucati is on fire here. We're joined by former Royals catcher Mike McFarland. And Mac, I feel uncomfortable in the studio right now with him, to be honest with you.
Does he have a little twitch going to him right now?
No, we need to get your thoughts on Oklahoma and Texas leading the Big 12, Mac.
Yeah, say something. Get Nate going on this, please. Could you?
Please. I need more of it.
What is Texas's deal? I mean, what have they done lately? I mean, they think they're right up there with Clemson and Bama when it comes to football, and they're not. I mean, just because their fan base is BS crazy, they think they deserve going to.
They got big belt buckles and money.
Here's the deal. We looked at the stats.
They got big belt buckles and money, Mac.
Leading,
that's all that matters.
They're
leading the league in firing coaches right now. So it's very.
By the way, how's that? How those Big 12 championships stacking up for you? You know? You think that the SEC's going, all right, you can come over, bring your fan base and money, and just continue to get your backside handed to you in pretty much every sport, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, whatever. I just don't want, you know, KU, K-State, and those guys left in the lurch. I'm sure someone will snatch them up, but, dang it. Big 12's as old as time in college sports. It needs to stick around.
We have Mike McFarland and Red Ass Nate Bucati on the show right now. So let's
You're getting me a little bit going there.
I like
Nate.
It.
I'm with you.
Keep. We need more from Nate. So if you could squeeze any more anger out of him, we'd love it.
Just poke him every now and then.
Right. Welcome to my world. Hey, look, before we talk about the Royals, I wanted to ask you about a pretty significant trade that took place last night. So the Rays, they give up a couple of pretty good pitching prospects, AAA guys that are close to the majors, but they get back one of the best bats that was available on the market. He's 41 years old, but he doesn't hit like he's 41 years old. Nelson Cruz, man, oh, man, they've had a lot of issues, first base and DH in Tampa with production. They get Nelson Cruz. He takes care of that. What did you think of the Rays acquiring Nelson Cruz, who, by the way, is hitting .294, 19 homers, and 50 ribbies right now, one of the best bats available on the market?
Good for Tampa. Good for that front office for recognizing the situation they're in and pulling the trigger. Good for the 10,000 people a game that go to that stadium. I'm really happy for them. Anytime that a small, you know, market, so to speak, small revenue team goes out and does something significant like this and like the Royals have done in the past, I'm all for it. And good for Cruz. I don't think he was a 10-5 guy, but I'm sure they had to get his approval because the Twins are sinking fast and they're going to be ugly the rest of the year. So good for them, giving a veteran a chance to go out and get a ring and participate in a playoff run. But you know the Rays got the arms. They have the backside of the bullpen covered. They just need a little bit of production because, you know, like everyone else, the bottom part of their order is suffering a little bit. Now you can squeeze that out a little bit, and you have Thunder in the lineup in the middle there. With a proven veteran that's going to bring a little bit of leadership as well to a team that was in the World Series last year. So good for them.
I like the idea that it looks like it may end up playing out this way. If Wander Franco and Nelson Cruz line up consecutively in the Rays order, they'll be the first duo to hit back-to-back in a starting lineup where one player is twice as old as the other player. That happened last when Ozzie Albies and R.A. Dickey did that in 2017. And so I kind of like the idea of having that back-to-back for the Rays. Now, Nate was already irritated before we even started talking about the Big 12. When I read him this portion of an article that was written by Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic about the trade deadline. So I'm going to read this to you. And I would like to get your reaction to this. So he was talking about how the Royals Jason Stark of The Athletic, here's the Royals appear more open than in the past to trading all-star second baseman Whit Merrifield. And then they went on, and he wrote about how he's owed the rest of his $7.25 million salary this season, $3.25 million next season, an $11 million club option in 2023, and so a very team-friendly contract along with being a hell of a player. So they lay that out there. But then Ken Rosenthal adds, the Royals, though, have told other teams they believe they are close to contention and are signaling that they do not want to trade established major leaguers for prospects who might not join them for 3 or 4 years. That could make it difficult for them to match up with clubs that have expressed interest in Merrifield. What's your reaction to that?
You know, it's one of those, hey, he may get traded, hey, he may not. You know, one of those things. Yeah. You know, quite honestly, I still think Witt's underpaid. I think it's comparable to Salvi's early contracts. You know, you're playing in this the market of the Royals. Witt's been a two-time All-Star now, but around the league has the utmost respect from his peers as far as players go. If the Royals feel that they're in contention, going to be in contention here during the time of that contract, I don't think you do trade Whit Merrifield. He's too big a piece of the puzzle there. Just his ability to do things on the bases, at the plate, in the field, put him anywhere. You know, Ben Zobrist type that's going to play an awful long time just because of his ability to stay healthy and play every single day. So. I think it's a big bargaining chip that the Royals have, but if you're seriously feeling like you're in contention, you do need a major leaguer of some value that is young in their contract as well to pull the trigger, because basically you'd go after a younger player and call Witt a veteran, which he is, to make a playoff push. So I think the Royals would be asking for an awful lot in order to pull the trigger on a Whit Merrifield deal.
Close to contention. I believe, Mac, I've used this phrase a couple times today in radical acceptance. The Royals are 16 games under 500. They're in last place. They're 18 games out of first. They have a run differential of negative 95. Only two teams in the American League that are worse are the Orioles and Texas Rangers. And they're pretty close to the Rangers in that regard. How are they close to contention?
I guess it's based on the time span that they're looking at. 2 years down the line, if you get some of these young hitters up here, and that includes Prado and Witt and Melendez or whoever that they consider to be big league bats, you know, 2 years down the line, call it 2013, something along those lines, 2012. Make some trades to supplement with some of the veteran arms that you have to get guys that are close to major league quality if you do pull the trigger at the trade deadline. And if that's their belief that 2 years from now we are in contention, yeah, I'd say that they're close to contention as well. But again, you're dealing with a couple kids that, all right, are having a fantastic year in the minor leagues, and I don't know the level of pitching that's going on down there, because there's some guys in the minor leagues that are just putting up, you know, Nintendo-type numbers. So I don't know. You know the difference between the AA, AAA players in the major leagues. There's just a hell of a lot better arms up at the major league level, and I don't know the quality of the arms that are down in the minor league.
As far as the major league team goes, in your opinion, let's say they're contenders in 2 or 3 years. Who's on this team right now on the major league roster that you would anticipate would still be here if they were to contend in 2 or 3 years?
Oh gosh. Well, I'd start with Witt. I'd say, you know, the turnaround that Nicky has had this season puts him in there. Obviously Salvi, you're not gonna trade him. Hunter Dozier, I definitely wouldn't get rid of him. I still believe in his abilities, but you know, again, things change on a daily basis. You just have a quite a few guys that are on a downward spiral at the start of this season that are fighting their way to get a breath of fresh air. They're drowning, and now Hunter's starting to get a few bloops and bleeders and settling down, and his numbers are coming up. I still believe in his bat being a middle of the lineup type bat. And then after that, I mean, you can work your way through the other guys and see a possible turnaround. And it's like we did in 14 and 15 where guys had really came into their own, the young hitters, and all of a sudden, you know, you get the arms, you get the presence, and the pitchers that we're seeing now and hear about now do develop next year. And then the following year, you have a chance to go after it.
Okay, so speaking of those young arms, Chris Bubich goes tonight as the Royals take on a Detroit team that's actually won six games in a row coming into this. So Bubich, look, the last time out, he came in for a struggling Brady Singer and pitched well. What are you hoping to see from Bubich?
More of that curveball. I mean, I think it was, you know, and Monty said it, Jeff Montgomery said it, that sometimes when you throw your breaking ball, and it's similar to Brad Keller, what he was talking about, it kind of glues your mechanics back together because you know you have to stay strong on the backside in order to get on top to make that pitch go. Well, that's what I've kind of seen with Bubich as well. Basically, the whole league knows fastball changeup, and now he starts to throw that breaking ball in there, and it has a little bit of bite. I thought it was a great job by him and Salvi the last time they were in there to throw it and throw it consistently to put that third pitch in the minds of a hitter, which now makes that changeup that much more effective with just enough fastball to pitch inside. So, you know, hopefully he continues to mix that pitch in. I'm not saying count on it more than the changeup because that changeup is still outstanding. But just the fact that that breaking ball puts the, you know, even if it's a get me over first pitch type thing, it puts that thought in a hitter's mind to know that it's there. And wow, okay, he got away with that one, but he also has one that he can bury on the backside of a right-hander's back foot to punch him out with.
So Bubich is tonight, and then we're going to see on Saturday Carlos Hernandez. What is your opinion of him as a pitching prospect?
Oh, well, okay. Back in spring training when I first saw that arm, I'm like, holy, you know what? This is legit, just explosive. You just basically have a big horse out there that needs to be broken, you know, that needs to be tamed a little bit because that arm is electric and the curveball is I love the kid when I saw him in spring training and I'm going, everyone's talking about Lynch and Coar and Bubich and everything, and I'm like, what about this kid? Just explosive stuff. So I've loved him from the first time that I saw him, and you know, one of those kids that I'm pulling hard for because alcohol can do anything. He could be a back end of the bullpen guy, give you a six quality innings with just the nastiest stuff that I've seen from a pitcher, and that includes Singer, in my opinion.
Okay, you mentioned Singer. He's on the IL now with shoulder fatigue, maybe dead arm. But the other guy that went on the IL is Danny Duffy with another injury. And this time it's a left flexor strain. And so most people feel like, okay, that removes him from any trade talks. But there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle by Susan Slusser. And she says injuries don't give San Francisco much pause in general when talking about acquiring pitchers. And so she said that the Giants still have interest in Danny Duffy, even though this is the second time he's visited the IL this season with a left flexor strain. And he wouldn't be available for the Royals or any other club that acquired him until probably the first week of September, if this is anything like the other one, but maybe it's not as bad. What about that? Would you? I mean, I certainly would, especially if he's not even going to be available to help you much in the second half. But say, for instance, if you're San Francisco and you're a team that's headed to the postseason, you trade for him, maybe you're able to buy low, you get him right, and maybe he could just be a weapon out of the bullpen for you in September and then into the postseason. What about the possibility of doing that?
Absolutely. I mean, sneak him through the waiver wire, and if someone claims him, then you pull him back, after the trade deadline. Absolutely. And trust me, everybody goes on the waiver wire just to see if and who gets claimed on those things. And if they're not claimed, then you're free to deal them to anybody. So, you know, one of those things that I'm sure that maybe if they are having discussions, they can talk about it. I do believe the Royals are honest in their assessment of where a player is, especially when he's injured. In Danny's case, if they are viewing that possibility, but hell yeah, I'd take Danny Duffy. You know, borderline Giants fan growing up in that area, but to help them out, it's fun watching them do what they're doing, and still nobody's talking about the San Francisco Giants on a national basis. It's still 100% the Dodgers, and they're going out and kicking butt night in and night out with a bunch of no-name guys that, you know, that have been reclaimed projects in their rotation. So adding a quality arm, I thought he was throwing so well and was just like, really? Getting hurt again? Just one of those things, one of those years for Danny Duffy right now. But I hope he gets a chance to possibly do that and go pitch in the postseason.
So here's the problem. So now there's only one trade deadline. They don't have the waiver trade deadline anymore.
Oh, crap, you're right.
Right, but so if you do it, you got 7 days to decide. And that's why it's so interesting, because Susan Slusser's reporting that they're still interested, even though they have to make the decision by next Friday. So if you're San Francisco,
roll the dice.
Would you still give up something of any value for Duffy, considering you have to do it within a week?
Yes, in my opinion, yes. Just because even if you get him for 2-3 weeks and something happens again, let's say he wins 3 games for you on the mound. Yeah, that's a huge difference in the month of September. So I would say, yeah, roll the dice and see what you get.
Trade for him, get him healthy in August, get him ready for September and into the postseason. Nate Buchady.
Reminds me of this season didn't work out for the Royals, but in 2003, the Royals went out and got Curtis Laskanik and Brian Anderson, who both had some injury issues, but could pitch really well if they were healthy. And the Royals weren't able to get over the finish line and get to the playoffs that year. But if you remember, those two guys kept them in it the last 2 months of the season because they came back from injuries and were able to produce. So I'm with you, Mac. We know what Danny Duffy can do when he gets healthy. So
I think he's using like a 2 or 3 inning stint as a weapon out of the whatever that hell yeah, I could help him.
Yeah, and especially the way he was pitching this year. I mean, crying out loud, it was back to his explosive stuff, and maybe, you know, those are some of the issues that led to that flexor tendon with the explosiveness coming off the fingertips, you know, kind of causes a little bit of straining out of those flexor tendons. But the problem is flexor tendons, those things are hard to come back from and get back to trusting it. But I think if we know anything about Danny, he's a battler and he'll go out and give it his all each and every time. He's not going to back off the throttle one iota. So he gets that chance to go back to California and help a team win some games, I think he'd be all for it.
Did you speaking of the Giants? Did you see the controversial check swing in last night's game between the Dodgers and Giants? That helped the Giants come back and win the game, and Kenley Jansen blew another save, but Dave Roberts went crazy and got ejected.
Yeah, that was a pretty good effort.
What the hell was that? That was a swing.
That's called getting your money's worth.
Yep.
And I think the Dodgers have some back end issues too that they may go out and just blow things out of the water and go for someone like Kimbrel in those regards. So that was pretty good effort. There's been some pretty good managers just flying off the hinges here in some of their ejections lately, and I can't wait till the thought of the robo umpires coming back in and what's going to happen if that comes. So I mean, you're going to have two bench coaches, because both bench coaches may get tossed during the course of one of those games.
Check swing.
But if you right, if you're the Royals, and I know he's not as big of a name as Craig Kimbrel, he also wouldn't cost you as much. But wouldn't you be on the phone with the Dodgers and say, "Hey, we got Scotty Barlow over here"? I mean, I would, if with as many problems as the Dodgers have, I think they've blown 3 straight saves. I'd love to have Scott Barlow.
Yes, and between Barlow and Brents, those are the two that I would say are untouchable. And I mean, if there's a chance someone would take a look at Zimmer, I think he's done a pretty good job and has shown some electric stuff at times, that would be a guy that I would look at as well. But, you know, Brents and Barlow, to me, are the potential untouchables down on the, in that bullpen.
Mike McFarland's been our guest. Mac, any final comments about Oklahoma or Texas and what this might mean for Nate Buchady moving forward?
How much do you really need? I mean, seriously, what is in your... I mean, they got the Longhorn Network that I think maybe two people outside the state of Texas may watch.
Huge success.
How much money is too much money? You know, look, I'm all for it. If they're passing it down to the other sports and everything else, that'd be great. Fantastic. But again, if you were someone that was consistently in the national picture race for, you know, the big sports, baseball, football, basketball, women's sports, any sport, okay, then you could sit there and say, and throw your papers out on the table and say, who wants us? But you're going to go into the SEC and get stomped, okay? What good does that do you? Okay, maybe from a recruiting standpoint, getting a couple kids here and there. But those SEC schools and the states that they're in, it really seems that those students are pretty, the high school students are pretty loyal to the state that they're in, only crossing lines when they see a better opportunity in front of them from a positional standpoint. So I don't know where the benefit is on that. Oklahoma, okay, they've done a few things in football and everything else. I would say Oklahoma maybe is just one of those wishy-washy universities that Texas is trying to pull in to help their case to get out of the Big 12.
Mac, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend, boys.
You hear what he said? Have a good weekend.
Good weekend,
don't be
Mac.
So angry about all this.
Oh, I'm good.
I don't think so.
I say, you guys want Texas, you can have them. Go ahead.
I don't think anyone wants Texas.
Bye-bye, Texas. Go ahead. Please leave.
Then what happens to the Longhorn Network?
But no one will continue to watch?
He said, no one will continue to watch. Is that their
nobody's watching.
Is that their tagline?
Yeah.
For the Longhorn Network, no one will continue to watch. Have you settled down in there, Jake? Are you?
I'm fine, man.
Everyone was heated there at the end.
I wasn't. I haven't been heated yet today.
Oh, you were yelling.
You
at
were heated.
I wasn't yelling.
Right
at
before
anybody.
8 o'clock,
that's
you were a little
not
heated.
Accuse you of yelling. I hear what yelling.
Yeah,
tonight.
you were a little hot. Okay, how about a little
irritated? Maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Hot under the car.
I was out. Yeah.
A little red and itchy, little irritated, a little scratchy.
I said this to you yesterday, Nate. I said this at the beginning of the show yesterday, right?
Exhausted by this.
I'm already exhausted. I hate this discussion. I know it's a topic. We're a sports talk radio show. It's probably the biggest topic in sports, so we need to address it.
That's the kind of producer he is. Listen, that's good.
But look, I'm tired of it. Because
don't you like hearing
it's
me
only the second day.
Like
I can't even be tired of it.
I'm tired of
we
it.
We just started
I'm tired
it.
Of it yesterday, and it hadn't even started. Like that, and I tell you, because look, understand what it is. And once you understand what it is, then you got to let it play out. And it's like we can sit here and get pissed off and raise our arms about it and bitch and complain and moan. It's about money. And that's and you have to accept it. That's what it's about.
Did you have any idea that Nate had such a distaste for several parts of this country?
Well, it's
unbelievable.
Like how he said he's from a free state, and I'm like, aren't all the states free?
Well, they weren't.
Right. Well,
but, I mean, weren't. But we're living in the present, right?
Yeah, there's Confederate flags all over the South.
Wow.
All right. I shouldn't even said that.
Why not?
I mean,
and I some people. Hey, if that's your thing, that's your thing. I don't like that. That's not my thing. I like the United States where it's free. That's my thing.
Right. Yes, it is.
Can you put that? Can you cut that and put that on the
that's
podcast?
My thing.
Nate says it's his thing.
That's,
he likes
dude,
to be free.
My
so.
Thing.
I like everybody to be free. That's my
there
opinion.
There we go. There we
that's,
go.
You know, I'm proud of being a state that has always felt that way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's. I'm just not, I don't want to be in the South. That's not my thing. People like the South, that's fine. You can, and if Texas wants, Texas is the South. They like the South, good. Go be the South. Go be in the SEC.
I don't think they have any choice but to be in the South. That's
right.
Where they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for them.
You know,
where their big old belt buckles
thing.
And, you know,
right.
And drive around with their big.
Who are you most mad at? And their big what? What were you just going to do?
The
big horns on the hood of their car, you know?
Steer horns.
Like Boss Hogg and
yeah.
Like, Dukes of Hazzard.
Like Jared Allen.
Who are you most mad at right now? Direct your anger at
Texas.
What? Okay,
Texas. I mean, they've screwed everything up. They screwed up what was a great conference of the Big Eight.
You know what?
They came in and ruined it.
I'm not going to fully blame Texas.
It's not all their fault.
No, I'm going to blame the Big Eight for letting Texas in, opening the door to them.
Sure, 100%.
You think?
So they did this. You created this monster.
Go
the Big Eight did by letting them in.
So to begin why are we so worried if they leave? Get out. Go.
I don't join know who's your worried about
SEC,
them leaving.
SEC, man. Good.
I'm trying to get the. There's something that's really got you. You're very angry.
The Texas came in here and crapped all over what was a great league, and now they want to leave. So good. Go become SEC's problem. We don't have to deal with you anymore.
No, what's going to happen is they're going to reject them.
Oh, but they got a lot of money. SEC's going to say
no.
They're our sugar daddy.
SEC is going to say no.
What did you just say?
We got to have them around because they're our sugar daddy.
Guess what? And guess what?
Texas is your sugar daddy?
The rest of the Big 12 is going to welcome Texas back when they come back because they're not going to the SEC.
Too bad.
Does Texas take you shopping?
Bad, but that's what I'm saying is like you're getting all miffed up and say, get out of here, Texas. Guess what? They're gonna come back and you're gonna have to accept them.
Does Texas take you to Oak Park Mall and buy you things that you want?
I'd like to go to Oak Park Mall.
They're Park always Mall's looking great. At somebody hey, else.
But you just have to look good on Texas's arm. That's all you gotta do.
Dude, I love Oak Park Mall, man.
So do I.
My mom
Oak Park Mall. I was so pissed off. We went there. Well, it was a Saturday. I'm an idiot. I'm like, oh, we're going to go to Sarku. We're going to get...
That
line was like 40 people deep. Oh, I ain't standing in this line.
You got to go at the right time.
Well, it was the wrong time for me. And I could smell it, and
I like to do a little Sarku at the beginning and then walk around for a while and then go get myself a little Topsy's popcorn after that.
You know, we did. So then I got...
mid-mall snacking.
Did you know, at the pretzel place?
It's not part of the eatery.
You can get a...
I love those things.
You can get a bucket of pretzels the size of the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket.
Dude.
And we got it, and we were walking... the girls, and we're walking around. It looked like we're walking around with a bucket of Kentucky Fried, a bucket of pretzels, and we've never been happier.
No,
just walking around.
Those are the best
pretzels. You dip them in cheese sauce.
Some cheese, had it all. Whatever, you know.
Cheese sauce.
I used to do damage in airports, especially O'Hare. I would get like six of them and sit there and eat six pretzels. I'm not kidding.
I'm laughing because I believe you.
I'm
just thinking about him getting six pretzels. Oh, yeah. Like he goes and orders something. Who else is with you? Like, no.
No. And can I get two bags full of juice?
Did you eat them before you got on the plane?
No, they didn't make it on the plane.
Those six pretzels, that's a lot, man.
That's six pretzels.
That'll weigh you down. That'll anchor you down.
That's more than a bucket full of pretzel bites, man.
I think we should do Border Patrol Day at Oak Park Mall.
I'm in. My mom used to not let me hang out there. I'd have to sneak there.
Remember the last time we were there together?
No.
You took me to the clinic there when I had strep throat?
That was a long time ago. Yeah. You're like, what? Is it clinic there? I'm like, yeah.
Were you part of that debacle, by the way? You remember that?
Yeah,
my throat was swollen.
I'm like, we need to take you somewhere now.
He was like, my daddy took me, and then he took me to the food court to get me something, and then he took me to the clinic. And
I drove him.
He bought me a t-shirt, and it was great.
Spencer's?
Wow.
Looked at some posters.
Hey, let's go in the back of Spencer's. They got some cool stuff. Let's take a break now. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.